Okay, thank you for listening to Acorn Canada Radio, where radio meets justice. Today we're talking to Stephanie and Stephen, who are Ottawa Acorn members for how many years?
We've been there for about 4 or 5 years because we were at the first, we had just joined at the first convention, and we went to our second convention last year.
Last year, yeah.
So the one that was that's here. About the length of time we were there. Shortly, we were in it approximately a year before the convention.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so, Stephanie, what did you want to talk about today?
Well, I want to talk about banking fees.
Okay, perfect. And Stephen, what would you like to talk about today?
The housing initiative they're trying to get done, so, you know, better...
Better housing.
Better housing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I can't remember the name of it.
Healthy Homes Campaign?
Inclusive housing.
Inclusive housing. Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. So maybe do we want to start with Stephanie and the banking fees? We can talk a little bit about that first, and then we'll move on to inclusionary housing. Okay. So what are some issues that people are dealing with around banking fees?
Well, I just find that in general, all banking fees are too high, and NSF fees in particular they're very cumbersome to low-income people. Banks, if you remember, they were first initiated to help the people in the community, and now they don't serve those people anymore. They don't serve those people anymore. All of their profits are going to the CEOs and for expansion, but they're not giving anything back to the communities that they're in, and I feel like they're using our money. Why shouldn't they be helping the low and medium income people instead of just the shareholders and the CEOs? Because that's where all the profits are going and in expanding out to other countries. Well, I mean, they're in Canada. They're in our communities. They should be serving our communities. And there's no need to have a $300 or a $3 charge just to use an ATM because it's not your bank. How much work does it really take to transfer that money from one bank machine to another? I just can't see it myself. And $45 or $50 for an NSF fee, that is incredible. Because, I mean, these are poor people. Like, if people had money, they wouldn't be doing NSFs. So, I mean, it's only hurting the people that don't have money. It's not hurting the people that have money. It's just going for more profits. And if they had lower bank fees and they were serving the communities, then the payday loan companies would go out of business because lower income people wouldn't need them. And I just find that the payday loan companies they're just using the poor people.
Okay, well, thank you for that, Stephanie. Okay, so you touched it a little bit, how this impacts low-income families' daily lives. Anything else that you'd like to talk about that, some impacts that low-income people might be facing?
Well, certainly, the interest fees that payday loan companies and the proliferation of payday loan companies in low-income communities is abhorrent. It just, they shouldn't be allowed to, for example, in Vanier, you've got 16 or so payday loan companies just on Montreal Road. And I noticed, Stephen noticed the other day that there's another one opening up.
Yeah.
Close to... a
couple of blocks down on that side, huh?
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the street, though. But, I mean, it says, you know, they got sign up already and says opening soon, eh?
Mm-hmm. But, so, I mean, we've already...
I thought they were supposed to keep them down.
I thought that the provincial government had mandated that the cities were allowed to start licensing the payday loan companies so that they wouldn't be so many in each area. This, I mean, we've probably got the highest per capita payday loans in the whole country. I've never seen so many payday loan companies in one area. And it's just like a few kilometers, not even 2 or 3 kilometers. It's ridiculous. And who are these, you know, this is probably one of the poorest neighborhoods. So, I mean, who's using them? Poor people? And for example, they just took the bank in Montreal off of the corner of Montreal Road and Saint-Laurent. So now you either have to go all the way out to Gloucester or you have to go all the way up to the corner of Beechwood and McKay. So, I mean, that is ridiculous. You know, like I said, they're supposed to be serving a community. How can you say you're serving a community if you're taking your banks out of the community and, you know, abandoning the people that need it?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Stephanie. Okay, so what are some actions that Ottawa Acorn as a group have taken on these issues?
Well, I know that we've done our last really big campaign was when we delivered letters to the heads of banks in central Ottawa. We did the march. All the way, we went like down Spark Street and then we went down to Bank Street and we went all down Bank Street and back up. And we delivered letters there, and some of these banks were supposed to be with us in trying to get, they were supposed to be talking about getting fees lowered. And I don't know what's happened with that.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Yeah, not too sure what's happened with that from, I guess, the decision makers, the CEOs of the banks, mm-hmm. things like that. Okay. I was just wondering, do you have any personal experience with high bank fees or using payday lenders?
Well, I'm lucky because I can afford overdraft protection. But I've got, who's chewing on what back there?
Oh, she's playing with her toy bag, probably.
Oh, okay. I pay $4 a month, whether I use it or not, for $500 overdraft protection. But I've been caught off guard and told that, okay, it's been a while since you're in overdraft and you haven't come to a zero balance. Now you have to do it. And I mean, if you are owing $500, for me as a sales clerk, owing $500 in overdraft is like owing practically a whole paycheck. And they give you only 30 days to catch up, or else. Like, I mean, that's pretty tough. And that's at the time when I was a single parent raising three kids. So, you know, and and another thing is that I find that at the time when we were buying this house, the bank lenders were very misogynist. They didn't want to give you a mortgage if you were a single woman. You had to have a cosigner. Mm-hmm. Whether or not I already owned half a home with my ex-husband, but they didn't care. They still said I needed to have somebody else co-sign for me. And that was as late as 1995. That's when we bought this mm-hmm. house, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when the bank manager asked me to get somebody to co-sign. That's ridiculous. So, yeah, I mean, I begrudge having to pay $4 overdraft protection fees, and I think it should only be used if I'm using the overdraft.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be, you shouldn't have to pay $4 a month. If you're not using that overdraft, why are they taking that money away from you? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, that it's not a lot. It's $48 a year. But over an extended period of time, if you're staying out of overdraft, then you should be getting some of that money back to me. Because it's like they're taking advantage of me by keeping my money and not reinvesting it in me. And another thing is the interest rates. Because the interest rates went up in 1988 because the country was in a slump. And all of the credit card companies went up to 13% then. And that was only supposed to be until there was a reboot of the economy. Well, instead of putting it back down when the economy got better, they boosted it up to 28%. Now that's almost usury. So I just don't understand why they need like all of this money for interest on credit cards. I don't know why they need $50 for an NSF fee, and I don't know why they need $3 for every debit transaction that you don't do at their branch. Because, and especially if they're moving their branches away from your convenience. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Okay, well, thank you. I wonder if, can you tell me a little bit maybe about what Acorn wants to see changed? Maybe what Acorn is demanding from the people responsible from the banks, things like that?
Well, I know that they want the banks to start serving the people better by giving some form of assistance to low-income families. They also want to have the banks start serving the community, start investing in the communities that they're serving instead of all over God's green acre that, you know, it isn't helping Canadians, it's helping other people. And the only people, like I said before, the only people that it's serving is the CEOs and the shareholders. And, you know, the poor are getting nothing. They should be, they should have some way to help out the poorer people. They should have an invest, they should be made to invest in the communities that they're serving, to me.
Okay.
And I think that Acorn, I think they've already asked that.
And how about with the payday lenders?
Well, as I said before, I thought that it had been mandated by the provinces that the city was supposed to look after that, and yet with all of the banks that all of the payday lenders in Vanier, they're still opening up another one. Where has that gone? I don't know. But I'm hoping that somebody will smarten up and start getting these people to move on. Start closing up some of them. Mm-hmm. I know that we've marched several times in front of them, because we really find that their interest rates are usury. Mm-hmm. They should be illegal. Mm-hmm. And the banks that own them, because they are owned by our national banks, they should be refusing they should be not buying them, not paying, you know? I don't know why banks would support them.
More money coming in, that's all. It's all about the money.
Yeah, but it's definitely not helping the communities. It's wrecking communities. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the proliferation of payday lenders on Montreal Road. And Vanier is one of the poorest neighborhoods in the city of Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And now they're opening another one, and they're closing down a legitimate bank? Why?
Because they can.
Good questions. Yeah. Okay, anything else that you want to add? You've expressed how you feel about this. You've talked about how long it's been going on for.
Well, I don't know how long it's been going on for, but it's been going on for a while, because I know that one of the cash lenders down here used to be a jewelry shop. There's pawn shops, two or three pawn shops, and you know, how is the city benefit? It's only the city that's benefiting from this, mm-hmm. and yet they're not doing anything about housing. Mm-hmm. So, and I've lived here for 20 years, at least, more.
Oh, yeah.
Because we bought our house, what, in 95?
95, huh? Okay. So whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah, 23 years.
Yeah, it'd be 23 years. That's what I mean. Well, thank you for your insights. I really do appreciate that. I think we will move on to Stephen and inclusionary housing. And I mean, you're welcome to join this conversation too, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some issues people are dealing with around inclusionary housing?
Just the poor people. They don't have any places to go. They end up in Ottawa housing, and it's, you know, there's no services, there's very little, there's a lot of crime involved too, because mm-hmm. you get people in there selling crack and whatever, right? So it's very Like my nephew lives in a place out in the West End. He's on ODSP, and he's really wrecked up. I get a lot of phone calls from him sometimes. But he spends his time wandering around uptown most of the time now, and he going to like the shelters trying to get a meal and stuff like that because he can't afford to. You know, he's got his rent or eat or whatever, right? Like, you know,
he's still got all of the necessary payments that poor people have during the month. Like, lots of places, you still have to pay your hydro, you still have to pay your phone bills, you still have to pay for a computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, like this Ottawa Housing, they should clean up their act and get the bad ones out and keep the ones that are going, that want a place to live, going to keep it nice, keep their nose clean, stay out of trouble, you know, mm-hmm. give them the benefit, you know. But there's so much of that stuff. You get, you have 75 people in that place and they're good people. And then there's another 10 or 15 or something that are, you know, doing whatever the hell they want to do, mm-hmm. you know. Whether it's prostitution or selling drugs or,
so what
peddling guns.
What you're saying is then they really need for the city to institute landlord licensing.
Yeah, they do. Can keep these people that are running these places doing what they're supposed to be doing. Like I was a building operator and there was things you did. When a tenant had a problem, you fixed it. In those places, they don't fix things, you know. They're very lackadaisical about, you know.
Like Gignall
mm-hmm.
owns the place next door to us. Now, they had someone come in and cut a huge tree down. Mm-hmm. They still have that tree.
Just stumping some of the pieces in the backyard there.
In the backyard. So this young lady that lives next door to us has 4 kids. And she can't let them out to play because the backyard is unsafe. Mm-hmm. And we were told by one contractor that it's been 6 years that they've been fighting to have the porch redone there, and because people keep moving in and out, it never gets done. So with landlord licensing, all of these people would have to be on one list, and they would have to be made to maintain the properties in a sufficient standard.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of both of you, this is a question for both of you, can you think of any other issues that people might be facing with poor landlords, inclusionary housing, things like that? We've already touched on a few of them, but anything else comes to mind?
Well, the rents these people have to pay on, and on top of they got to pay their own hydro and stuff like that, but the guy in that apartment over there on the second floor, he pays over $1,058 I think for rent, and then he has to pay his hydro on top of that and all that, it's crazy. Yeah.
and these are
basically flop houses anyway, a lot of them, mm-hmm. The landlord never comes around there. When they had the one landlord, he was good, eh?
Yeah.
He'd come over and mow the lawn and, he'd fix things and make sure everything was okay. This other landlord, once they put the new siding on and the new windows and stuff like that, he never came back, eh? You never see him.
Well, I think that it was the old landlord that did it all up so that he could sell it.
Yeah. But, the other one.
But at least he kept it, and at least he knew what he had to do in order to sell it. Mm-hmm. But since it's been sold, there's been nothing done over there.
No.
You can see the lawn growing up over the bedroom windows. You can see,
Mm-hmm.
And at one point in time, they even had a chain across the front steps that nobody could use the front steps.
Yeah, which is a fire hazard, you know, if you have to get out of there. Mm-hmm. You run out of there in the middle of the night because there's a fire and you forget the chains there, you fall and break your neck, you know? Like, you can't put stuff in front of an egress, eh? Like, you have to have, you know, just like when I worked as a building operator, you couldn't leave stuff in the hallways and stuff like this, you know? You have a storage room to store things, you put them in the storage room, you don't start, and you can't let people even moving in and they leave their couch out there because they have to get it in later because they're painting or something like that. They can't leave things blocking things. You know, like, I mean,
you have to have free access.
You have to be able to get out or get in. You know, I mean, it's very crazy. But this housing too, also, like, why aren't they building more affordable housing for people? You know, they want to do this, what, 5% deal or something?
Was it
5% they said at first?
Yeah. For zoning, integrated zoning.
Yeah, so 5% of any new development.
Any new development, yeah.
Would be,
yeah.
Only 5% of affordable housing.
So that's 1 in 20.
Yeah,
yeah. 1 in 20 buildings, yeah.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. Yeah. And all of the big condos are right near the LRT lines.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So where are they going to put the poor people? And who's going to be using the LRT lines? Mm-hmm. It's not going to be Mr. and Mrs. Rich Bitch. They're going to be using their cars.
Yeah, they got fancy cars and this and that. You know, they don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, it's just not right the way they do things.
Mm-hmm.
The city does not move on anything ever fast, it seems, and they've always got an excuse. Or we'll try, what's that term they use? We'll try trial, whatever.
Yeah, they were going to do a trial of landlord licensing in Vanier.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they, I mean, Matthew seems to have gone back on that.
Matthew, the counselor for the
Vanier?
Yeah, Matthew Fleury.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know, like, the mayor seems to have so much control with that council. You know, whatever he says seems to be the way the majority goes. We've got, what, 4 or 5 councillors that back
16.
Some of the things we talk about, eh?
They're you backing know? The licensing and they're backing, you know, to get affordable housing. Watson's idea of affordable housing is to put a 350-bed institution in the middle of Main Street in Vanier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 350 beds in half a block. And these are homeless people.
Oh, yeah.
Where are they going to go?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they get out
kicked
out
morning,
in the daytime. They have to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they going to go?
Yeah.
And the thing is that he wants to clean up downtown by moving all the vagrants down here. And I shouldn't say vagrants because
no, they're... No, people do, honey. I mean, they have circumstances.
They are people that need help.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants to conglomerate them and make a ghetto down here.
Mm-hmm.
And put up condos downtown. Well, where are the people going to go from down here?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be downtown because they've been kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
But where are they going to go? Because this is a poor area. They can't get money from here.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go back downtown anyhow to get the money where the rich people live.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Instead of making different areas for affordable housing, he wants to invest in shelters. Now, they were supposed to be involved in housing first.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the housing first in this plan? Because they're going to get $50 million to put that in. Plus they get a per diem for all of the beds that are filled. It's going to lower our taxes. But they're going to get a kickback from the developers for letting them build in downtown Ottawa.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of fees involved with all that kind of stuff, building and planning and all this. Everybody's getting rich, you know? Okay. Except the poor guy in the street's got no place to go.
Yeah. I mean,
they should have this type of housing in every section of town, really, you know?
Mm-hmm.
For different people involved. Like, they're building a housing place down here, right? Is it Shepherds?
Either the Shepherds of Good Hope or the Mission
are
building a little development just at the corner.
Just past the hospital there.
Yeah, okay. Just down near Montfort Hospital.
I forget, there's going to be, I don't know how many units, not a whole bunch, but I mean, they're trying to get the people that can basically take care of themselves out into to the community, eh? Get them a place to live, you know?
Once
you got a place, your own place to live, you know, you're going to be happier, you're going to try and do things, and you know?
Yeah.
And that's if you've got an address, if you're homeless.
Yeah, you don't even have an address.
When you go to apply for a job, what's the first thing they ask you?
Address.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you don't have one,
they're not going to pay much attention to you.
If you have a place to clean up in, if you have an address and you're able to get a phone and have a key to your own apartment, then you're able to do so much more for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And this is why Housing First is important.
Yeah.
It means it's about morale too, eh? Your morale goes up, and, you know, you feel better about yourself and you might be able to do something to alleviate your situation, eh? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Try to do something. See, that's the way my nephew is. There's nothing he can do. His health's so bad and he can't seem to do anything, right?
He's depressed.
Yeah, he's very depressed, but he's... By ODSP, you're given a certain amount of money, and if you work, right, you can only make so much a week or a month, I don't know, whatever it is.
It's only so much. I'm not sure if they've increased it or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but...
From the last I heard, you were only allowed to make $200 a month over and above your ODSP. What they have raised is the limit of your assets.
So
if somebody dies and leaves you an inheritance, I think you're allowed to keep $40,000.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that, they start climbing.
Yeah.
But if you make over $200 a month, anything over the $200 a month, they claw back 50%.
Mm-hmm. So less initiative for people.
Yeah, less initiative. You get stuck in the system. Yeah. You know, you get stuck in the system. You finally give up, right? What the hell? I just live in my little place and, you know.
This is.
And have nothing and just, well, if I get hungry and I can't afford groceries that day, well, maybe I'll go down to the Mission or go down to Sally Ann or Shepherd's and. They got meals there. They'll serve you, you know. You know, get lots of people off the street to go to eat, eh? You know, because that's what he does. He does that stuff, and then
he
wanders around, and he's thinking, and he's getting more and more.
Yeah, bizarre.
Yeah, yeah. It's more and more muddled in his mind. And,
okay. Know. Well, we've talked about a few things here. I'm just curious, what are some actions that ACORN Ottawa has taken as a group on some of the issues, inclusionary zoning or landlord licensing, some of the things that we've talked about?
Well, we've gone down to Heron Road.
Yeah.
Just before it was expropriated by Timber Creek, we held a funeral procession down there. We're down on the Parkdale Avenue just a week or two ago in front of a condo site to say that we need more affordable housing, not more condos. We've been out two or three times to Heron Gate for...
There are different things out there.
Yeah,
we were there at City Hall one time when that thing was supposed to come out about inclusionary housing, was it? Or was it the other thing?
We went down to City Hall and we had, I think it was for landlord licensing, and that big thing from all of the people in front of City Hall. And we went in and talked about, I know that we've talked about landlord licensing at City Hall. And we often go into City Hall and try and stir things up.
Was the last time you were there, the time you're talking about, on Valentine's Day?
Yeah, we went there on Valentine's Day to
thank the councillors
that were supporting
our landlord licensing. Yeah. But even in the years prior, we've been, what was the one for prison? We had people in prison. Giselle had made the prison sign.
Yeah, that was a long time
sign.
Ago. I can't remember what it was. Yeah. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, I know, but we were still out. And, was justice, something for justice. And we also had wasn't that the time that we had, oh no, that was in front of the service center on Preston Street when we had the picnic for, we had a picnic for, we had the picnic for disabled people.
Yeah.
They couldn't afford to pay for food. So we had our empty plates. We brought lunch, we brought chairs and baskets and empty plates and put them around because we couldn't afford food.
Oh yeah, that's
good. We've done lots of things,
and when we have these, you know what I mean, eh? Our leader thing, our convention, eh? We do things too when we're out there too, right?
We went for a banking initiatives at this convention.
Yeah.
We walked all down Park Street and we went around, and they finally delivered a message to the bankers at the corner of Spark Street.
Yeah.
Into the banking center, the Royal Bank Center. They went in there.
Okay. Yeah. No, we do a lot of actions like that, you know, and some of them go pretty good. Other ones, it's like pulling teeth, eh? Because you don't get cooperation from people. Yep. You know, they don't want to change things.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid they're going to lose some money, you know, like, I mean, you know.
And not only that, if you go around, like, we have an initiative for change that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're hitting the low-income apartments, a lot of those people don't want to say anything.
Mm-hmm. Because they're afraid of getting booted out.
Mm-hmm. Like about their landlords or about their rental situation, they don't want to say anything because if they do, they're afraid that they'll be put out on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of the thing that we want for landlord licensing, is for one thing, not to put people out on the street in the months, in the winter months, mm-hmm. because that's exactly what happened in Harringate. Mm-hmm. They had to be out in mid-February.
Yeah.
Well, you start putting people out that have families in mid-February. Those kids suffer because they have to go into a new school. And I don't know if you've ever had to change schools in mid-year, but it's a bummer because I've had to do it. My dad was in the Army, mm-hmm. and we had to change places, and sometimes it wasn't very convenient. A lot of times they were very considerate, but there were times when it wasn't convenient and we had to change mm-hmm. places, and you were moving in the mid-year. Well, what happens? All your books get packed away and then you don't know where anything is, mm-hmm. you know, and especially a lot of these places have two people working, so the kids are on their own. Mm-hmm. And when we've gone for landlord licensing in the low rent places, we've gone to apartments where there's little kids on their own, mm-hmm. because they can't afford babysitters.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, so what does Ottawa Acorn want to see changed with, I guess you could talk about inclusionary zoning, inclusionary housing, or landlord licensing?
Well, for the inclusionary zoning, instead of 5%, it should be at least 20, if not 25%.
Of all new developments?
Yeah. Yes.
To be
affordable. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So an increase.
Yeah. Because usually now these condos on the first couple floors or something, it's all retail. Mm-hmm. And then, you know.
And then they have luxury apartments.
Luxury apartments above. Or some spaces have offices above too, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
So at least
There's no inclusion for the people that.
So at least one out of every four new developments be affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
That's not too much to ask for.
No, that's not a whole pile, you know. Mm-hmm. They got to start somewhere. That's the whole thing. They have to start and be serious about this stuff. Mm-hmm. And instead of screwing everybody around, you know.
Yeah. And how about for landlord licensing? What does Acorn want to see changed? What are they demanding from city
we
houses?
We want to have all of the landlords register.
Okay.
That's the main thing for all of their properties. Because if you say this house has only got two units in it, right? Mm-hmm. But Dingle has
lots of units scattered around.
Mm-hmm. So if they had a registry, if the city had a registry of all of the properties that Digno owns, then they would be able to see what places are being kept and what aren't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's one thing for licensing. And for another thing is to make all of the property standards accessible to the customers that are renting so that they know what that they can expect to receive for the rent that they pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, well, I would just like to thank you both, Stephanie and Stephen, for this interview. But before I go, are there any upcoming actions or events coming up with Ottawa Acorn?
Yes, on Saturday, March 10th, from 2 to 3 p.m. at Britannia United Church, which is 985 Pinecrest Road, we're organizing a forum and outreach blitz as we get geared up for the municipal election in October of this year. It's part of our Agenda for Change campaign, which is all about building a progressive base of voters to tilt the balance of power at City Hall. So we'll be having a guest speakers from unions and allies, launching our Agenda for Change website, doing training on outreach, and then canvassing the neighborhood in pairs. Anyone listening, we really encourage you to come. If you have more questions about the event, let the office know at 613-746-5999 extension 2 or ottawaacorncanada.org.
Okay, well, thank you for that. And thank you for listening to Stephanie, Stephen, and myself talk about Ottawa Acorn's numerous campaigns on inclusionary zoning, landlord licensing, payday loans, fair bank fees. We really talked about a lot today. Yeah, we
threw a lot in there.
It's good, though. Yeah, so this has been Acorn Canada Radio, where radio meets social justice. Till next time, thank you.
Now you can have your cookie.